you'd take your Bible, please turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. The book of 1 Timothy chapter number 2. We begin our reading in verse number 9. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 9. We've been studying through the book of 1 Timothy, and we've been wanting to be faithful to God and His Word. And one of the beautiful things about preaching through a book is you just hit things as you get to it. And I'll be honest with you, this is one of those passages that I would rather not preach on, I'll be honest with you. But I've got to be faithful. Amen. Amen, Jody. I've got to be faithful. I'll amen myself there. And this is one of those things here that I'm praying that the Lord will help me to explain in a very precise way and not be misunderstood. I hope you understand my heart in this. And this is something that we're praying that God will help me to say this with clarity, with understanding. We come to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. By the way, our cadet program, they are at the Life Care Nursing Home tonight, and they're ministering to the folks there, so we pray for them tonight and ask God to use them. That's good for these kids, to be able to go out and minister to these folks and be a blessing to them, and that would be great. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she should be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Anybody want to take my Bible and preach on this for me tonight? Come help yourself, right? But again, we're studying through the book of 1 Timothy, and we've come to this passage. And I'll be honest with you, this passage is a blessing. It really is. It's a challenge to my heart. Now, I'm not a woman. Amen. I'm not. But the fact is, this has been a challenge to me. And I'm praying that God will help all the ladies to understand. By the way, if you're a man, please don't tune me out. Because as I studied this, it was a blessing. And I trust that it'll be a blessing not only to all the women, but to all the men tonight. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark two words in verse number 11. It's the two words, the woman. The woman. Now I want to speak to you on that subject tonight. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you. I pray that you help me to preach this with clarity. And may you get out of my mouth exactly what you've put in my heart. And Lord, this is a passage of Scripture that a lot of people just really get on a hobby horse and ride. But God, I'm not doing that tonight. I just want to be faithful in expounding the Word of God. Help me, Lord, to say exactly what needs to be said and not say one thing more or one thing less, we pray. May thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. After the Lord God created Adam, the animals and everything else that we see and do not see, he spoke in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, and he said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. Therefore he caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam and took one of his ribs and created the woman. Somebody said that the reason Adam called her woman was because, you understand, he had never seen a woman before. And he was in deep sleep, and as soon as he woke up, there she stood, and the first words out of his mouth was, whoa, man! And that's her name. You know, I can only imagine how Adam felt when he woke up and saw Eve for the very first time. You know, it may have been similar to the first time I saw my wife. When I saw her, it's hard, honestly, it is hard to put into words just how beautiful she was then and still is today. That's the truth. Well, for our attention in this text, by the way, I'm not trying to earn her gratitude here because of what I'm getting ready to say, by the way. But for our attention in the text tonight, we see our Lord sets the woman apart for our consideration. And in context, our Lord is using Paul to deal with the issue of church order. Now, he's just dealt with prayer in verses 1 through 8. And now he turns our attention to the woman in verses 9 to 15. Now, one of the problems in this church, now this is key for you to understand this passage, okay? One of the problems in this church at Ephesus was the role that women were taking. Now, since the leaders of the church had fallen into doctrinal moral error, see,
this church at Ephesus had major problems. They were doctrinally going off. They were morally going off. It's not surprising that this would have a negative impact on the women in that church, as well as the men. But in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6, it tells us that some of the women had abandoned their purity during this time and were living only for pleasure. Therefore, we see our Lord through Paul, get this, is trying to correct a problem in this church at Ephesus with the women who were not living according to God's will and standard for their lives. Now, as he deals with the women in this church, all women everywhere can learn some great lessons to help them in their God-given duties. In other words, through the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit of God, dealing with this problem that the church at Ephesus had with the women, every woman can learn what God expects out of them in the church. Are you with me so far? This is what's going on. Now, let me say before I start the outline that I am so thankful for the woman that he has given me to be my wife. Now, she is a wonderful handmaiden of God. She really is. She's a wonderful wife to me, a wonderful mother to our children. She's a great pastor's wife to this church. And on top of this, I am grateful to all the women here at Buffalo Ridge. God has blessed us with wonderful women in this place. He really has. These women here are helping us to fulfill the Great Commission and bring glory to His wonderful name. Please understand something, that what I'm about to say, it's not to scold this church, because this is not in this church. At least I don't see it. I don't see it tonight. And I thank God for it. But I've got to be a faithful preacher and expound the entire Word of God. You understand that, don't you? And this is part of it as we get to it in 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is just where we are. I want to give you three things about the woman that we see in our text in verses 9 to 15. And keep in mind that what I'm trying to do tonight is I'm trying to commend you ladies, because you're doing such a wonderful job in this. You really are. But on top of this, you need to understand why you do what you do. It ought to be, and it ought to be backed up by Scripture, and it is. Now I want to give you three things. Number one, the first thing we notice about the woman is found in verses 9 to 12, and that's her education. Now you say, what's that mean? Paul takes her to school. That's what I'm talking about. In these verses, we see the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, in a way is taking the woman to school to teach her, to educate her on what the Lord expects out of her. And let me remind you that life is about pleasing the Lord. It really is. Therefore, whatever God says for the woman or the man or the family or the child or the teenager or the husband or the wife or the mom or the dad, whatever God says, that's the best. Amen? Because it's God's will, and God, that's God's plan. Now, in this education, I want to give you some instructions that Paul, get this, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God is speaking through Paul. He's showing the women their duty before the eyes of God, specifically in context of the church, you understand. But this also applies to everyday life in the marriage. Now, we're going to apply it to the church here because that's the context. But keep in mind that this works in every single area of life. And there's some things I want to draw to your attention. Education number one, point number one, instruction number one, if you will, is found in verses 9 and 10. Look at it. It says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, gold, pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now I'm going to tell you where a lot of fundamental Baptist preachers go wrong. A lot of fundamental Baptist preachers, and I'm praying God helps me with this, they go wrong because they dwell on one word in this passage, and it's the word modesty. And let me say something to you. I'm going to preach to you about modesty in just a moment, but there's a lot more in this passage other than modesty. Now stay with me. Now, the first major instruction that he gives to the woman is this: adorn yourself right. Adorn yourself right. The word adorn here means to decorate. Now, it's interesting here where it says the word apparel. That word apparel, what do you think it's talking about? You're right, but that's not all it's talking about. It's talking about the entire person. It's not just talking about the outward appearance, it's talking about the inner character. Now stay with me. There are ladies who can dress modest and be as wicked as the devil. Amen. But are you listening to me? You cannot have the right character inside and dress immodestly. It's impossible. Now, I'm not expecting a lot of amens, but I'm trying to preach the truth to you tonight. Now, stay with me here. He starts showing them about the adorning that God wants them to have. Let me give you several things under this first point. Number one, he said it's to be modest. Now, the word modest means to be orderly. It means to be well arranged. It means to be becoming. Get this. It means to not be provocative. And it means not to be a stumbling stone. Now stay with me here. It seems impossible to fix a certain rule for the attire of women for all states and all conditions. Now stay with me here. Because at all times, in all places, different apparel is necessary to distinguish between the different qualities and ranks of persons. Now stay with me here. But what Paul is saying here, and also what Peter says in 1 Peter 3:3, it seems to be evident that all attire, now get this, all attire is forbidden to betray immodesty. In other words, listen to this. If it raises suspicion, if it causes a question to your character, you shouldn't wear it. Stay with me here. See, when a person's attire makes them look like they're proud or vain or provocative, it's immodest. Now stay with me. I know I'm saying stay with me a little while here, but I'm doing that because I don't want to lose you, because I don't want you to misunderstand anything I'm saying. See, what was happening back in this day, again, the context settles everything. Back in this day, there were those women that were, frankly, now listen to this, their intent as they came to the house of God was to allure men towards them. And so they would come dressed in clothing that was not modest. Clothing that demonstrated sensuality, that demonstrated passion, lust, and desire, that was intended to allure and attract men. In other words, they were dressing in such a way that it took the attention from worshiping God to them. Now, are you with me so far? In other words, as they came to the house of God, here's what Paul is dealing with. As you come to the house of God, you ought to be coming with the desire to worship God and not detract from that in any way. But he's saying there were women coming who were dressing in an immodest fashion that was causing the men in that church to take their worship from God and start looking at them. Now, this is one reason. Now, listen to me, folks. It's not how long the garment is. It's not how short the garment is. Is it modest? Is it modest? In other words, can you wear what you normally wear here and around, and can God look at you and say, I like that? Can he say that? Now, stay with me. He said, first of all, adorn yourselves right, modestly. Secondly, he goes on to say, adorn yourself shamefacedness, with shamefacedness. Now, what does that word mean? That word means bashfulness. Let me ask you a question. When you look around the world, I'm not trying to paint pictures in your mind, please don't misunderstand me. But when you look around the world, do you see a lot of bashful women? Do you, yes or no? Absolutely not. That same stuff had leaked into the church at Ephesus. And God's saying this. He's saying, I want you to go to school. I want to teach you some lessons. God has given you a high responsibility. And the first thing he wants you to do is adorn yourself right. What is right? Modest. Shamefacedness. It means to stand, get this, it means to stand in awe of God. That's what that word means. Let me ask you a question, ladies. By the way, if any lady gets mad at me, because I don't have anybody in mind, because what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to commend you, because you're doing such a great job at this. You really are. You really are. But listen to me. If any lady gets mad at this, they're guilty. They're guilty of it. Only those who are guilty of this will get mad at a message like this. Because anybody who's trying to cover themselves and is trying to live a modest life will thank God for a preacher who'll stand up and preach this. Now, that's the truth. And I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to encourage you. Keep doing what you're doing, okay? I'm trying to encourage you as a church. Dress in awe of God, not boldly seeking attention. Now, let me ask you something. Are you dressing in reverence toward God? Are you dressing with God in mind? Now, that's a great question to ask yourself. Am I dressing so I can be noticed? Or am I dressing in a way that pleases God? Now, I'm not looking at you and saying, this is right, that's wrong. I don't have to do that. You understand? I don't have to say that. You realize we have mistaken identity in our church. I mean, people say things about our church that are just ridiculous. Ridiculous. But the fact of the matter is this. A lady, whatever she's wearing, folks, it's not my place to say you ought to wear that. It's not my place to do that here. What I'm saying to you, because I'm not God. You understand? I don't want to be God in your life. But I'm simply trying to tell you that God's will settles everything. Right? And He wants you to dress in a way that brings a smile to His face. Shamefacedness. Number three, he says, attire yourself with sobriety. Now, when you think of being sober, what do you think of? Alcohol, right? Staying away from alcohol. But this word sobriety here means with self-control. Control yourself. Control yourself. Let me help you teenage girls here just a moment. Don't swallow the fact that in order to get a boyfriend and to get a husband later on, you're going to have to flaunt yourself. Amen, parents. Because, listen to me, they ought to be more interested in your character than your clothing. Now stay with me here now, because I'm trying to help you. I really am. I hope you understand my purpose tonight. And I hope you understand. I wish I didn't have to preach this. I'll be honest with you. But I'm going to be faithful to God's word. I'm going to now. Because that's what the Lord's told me to do. Then in the latter part of verse 9, he's talking all this. All this is about adorning themselves right. What is right? Modest, shamefacedness, sobriety. Then in the latter part of verse number 9, he's saying, don't be over extravagant. Now, look at the latter part of verse 9. Not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Now, some people take this to the extreme other end, folks. Now, is it wrong for you to take your little girl and put pigtails in her hair? Hallelujah, no. That's not what he's talking about. See, the intent here was a sin to overdo and develop such an elaborate hairdo. Now, listen to this. That it did nothing but call attention to yourself. Now, listen to this. Where it says right here, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Let me explain to you what, again, the context helps us understand this. See, back in this day, listen to this. Ladies would literally take their gold and their silver and their pearls and their jewelry, and they would stack that fortune on their hair. And they would braid their hair with gold and with pearls. In other words, what they were doing, they were flaunting their wealth. They were trying to show you, I've got more than you have. They were trying to walk into God's house. Now, what would you do if some lady walked in here with gold, I'm talking about wrapped around her head? What would you do? Would you pay attention to the Word of God? Would you be singing, How Great Thou Art? No, you'd say, whoop, what in the world is that? In the same way, that's what's happening in Ephesus. These ladies who were rich, they were flaunting their wealth, their riches, by the way that they were doing their hair. See, gold's always been valuable. But back in this day, the pearls were about 3 times the value of gold. So see, a woman could put a fortune on her head, you see. And in that day, listen to this, people were very poor. In fact, a very costly dress worn by a very wealthy woman would cost up to 7,000 denarii. Now, let's put that into perspective. What's a denarii? One denarius was one day's wage. So an elaborate dress back in that day would cost the average person 7,000 days' pay to pay for it. But some of them had enough money to do that, so they would come flowing in the church with all these elaborate clothes and good night money and gold and pearls in their hair. And Paul's saying this, don't draw attention away from the worship of God. Don't draw attention to yourself. Nothing should detract from the worship of God. The woman should not dress in such a way that it draws attention away from the Lord. That's the issue. You understand that? It's not, is it there? Is it there? Is it there? That's not the issue. The issue is it modest? Is it modest? Is it modest? Is it modest? And does it draw attention from the Lord? If it draws attention from Him, and it causes men's eyes to look your way, that is immodesty. Do you understand what I just said to you? By the way, men are jerks. How do I know? Because I am one. Listen to me, folks. I'm trying to help you. God has made the man where he is excited by what he sees. And isn't it interesting that every woman in the world knows that? And I'm asking you, you're doing a great job here. I trust you're doing a great job at home. Are you dressing in a way that God is pleased and praised? That's modesty. Now, how can married and single women know if they are dressed properly? How can you know that? Because it goes down to a certain point? Because it's not that tight? How do you know? How do you know? Here's how you know. Listen to me. Ask yourself some motivation questions. What's your motives? Ask yourself this. Right before you put that on, why am I going to dress this way? If your answer is, I want to be noticed, immodest. Ask yourself, what's my goal by dressing this way? Ask yourself, am I trying to draw attention to God? Or am I trying to draw attention to myself? Will what I'm wearing stand out? Or will it be considered appropriate, modest, appropriate for the occasion? I hope I'm helping you. Hope I'm not making anybody mad. So a Christian woman should attract her attention to her character. You see what I'm saying? Now on the flip side of that, does that mean you shouldn't keep up with the styles? You ought to dress appropriately. Which means I'm not saying you need to go out and wear potato sacks, ladies. You look nice. Keep up with the styles. Keep up with the day. But be modest. Be modest. Asking God to help you dress in a way that it doesn't draw attention away from Him, but it draws attention to Him and saying, there's something about that lady. Something about her. Something about her. A Christian woman should show by her dress and her demeanor, her love and her devotion, not only to her husband, but also to her Lord. She should know by her dress and desire that she has no intent to flaunt herself, her wealth, or anything else. Here's one of the greatest things I think I've ever heard on this. I've never preached it. I'm saying on this subject. A lady asked John Newton one time, what's the best rule for female dress? He said this. He said, madam, so dress and so conduct yourself that persons who have been in your company shall not recollect what you had on. Well, I like that. What that means, it's not talking about, by the way, you can cause people to remember what you had on are you listening to me? If you downplay everything too, folks. You ought to look nice, ladies. You ought to fix yourself up. Don't take that wrong. But you ought to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But some ladies take it too far. And when they take it to the extent to where they want people to see them instead of God, that's immodesty. Anybody understand what I'm talking about tonight? That's immodesty.
Adorn themselves right. What is it? Modest, shamefacedness, sobriety, not over extravagant. And then in verse number 10, he gives us the flip side of it. He says, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. See, the main thought here is let the woman be more concerned, get this, with her character than her clothing. Let her be more concerned with her actions than her attire. Realize, ladies, listen to me, please. Realize that true beauty in God's eyes is godliness expressed in good works. That's true beauty. The Bible says over in the book of 1 Peter, don't turn to it for time's sake, but 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, it says, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, talking about women, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. God's more pleased with what's on the inside than what's on the outside. But the outside should be a reflection of what's on the inside. And by the way, it is a reflection of what's on the inside. It really is. Now let me say some things here before I conclude this first point. I know what you're saying. Hurry, get off that point. Wait till you get to point two. Amen. Women should show reverence for God by coming before Him clothed in body and soul in fitting or appropriate attire. Appropriate for the occasion. Not revealing. Not too tight. But modest. Number two, dressing up is not a matter of outward, but inner condition and outward conduct. Number three, be more interested in your character than your clothing. I'm just kind of going back and hitting this. Number four, don't dress to attract attention, but rather be one who draws all attention to your God. God has not and does not change His mind to fit the time. He doesn't. His standard's always the same, and His standard is modesty. Modesty. And the last thing before we move to point number two quickly, this is one reason we have standards of dress and conduct that's placed on our leadership and fellowship functions here is because we're trying to please the Lord. We really are. For our leadership, you understand, and also for our fellowship functions. By the way, let me flip this across and say this. Anybody at every time and all times in this world are welcome at our church. If anybody ever says anything to a lady that you think is dressed inappropriately, are you listening to me? If you say that and you run them off, God help you. That's not what this is about. And it's not my purpose to say that's appropriate. I'm not saying anything about that tonight. Because the issue is modesty. Is it appropriate? Is God pleased with it? And does it draw attention to God instead of to yourself? That's simple, isn't it? Now, second thing under this is all under major point number one, or education. Good night, this might be as far as I get, but hallelujah, I'm going on because I don't want to bring this up again. Number one, adorn themselves right. Number two, learn in silence and subjection. Verses 11 and 12. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. I didn't say it. God did. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now many women across our nation and worldwide would go crazy over this verse. But this is important to understand. It's interesting here that the Apostle Paul says, let the woman learn. Now before the ladies would say, Paul's taking up for ladies here. I didn't know that when I first read it. But here's what he's saying. See, part of the contemporary Jewish tradition of that day was a low view of women. They weren't usually given opportunities to learn. They weren't forbidden to come to the synagogue, but they weren't encouraged either. Most rabbis refused to greet women in public. They're jerks, if you ask me, honestly.
and felt that teaching them would be a waste of their time. And while women were not completely forbidden from learning, they were certainly not encouraged to do so. They were being ignored. Do you understand that? And the contemporary view, I'm talking about at this time, of the Jewish teaching, was that women had no doubt, listen to this, had led to a certain amount of suppression. This teaching had led to a certain amount of suppression of women in the church at Ephesus. A reaction to that extreme position, some of the women determined to rise to the leadership level in the church. They were sick of it. Like some of you ladies would be sick of it too. They said, since you're going to ignore us, we're just going to take control of the church. Now, this is what Paul's dealing with. And Paul had to tell him to stop. But before he dealt with the problem of women trying to control the man, he first settled the question of whether women had the right to learn. Do you see that? Paul stepped into the plate and said, wait a minute, let them learn. He's saying they're equal in the status of being able to listen and learn from God's word. Don't suppress them from that. He's taking up for you here. Amen. But then he starts turning it and he starts going back to the woman and he starts giving her another instruction. He's educating her here. We see Paul is showing the equality of the sexes in learning the truths of God's word. However, it is God's will in the public setting of the church that the woman be in silence when it comes to authority over the man. Women are speaking authoritatively I'm talking about speaking authoritatively in the church assembly doesn't mean they cannot speak God's truth. For instance, God says nothing about a woman teaching a child. Hence we have female teachers for boys and girls. God's word says nothing about ladies not being able to stand up and testify. We have that all the time here. God's word says nothing about them speaking as far as having part in the service. But when it comes, for instance, he used women such as Miriam in Exodus 15, Deborah in Judges 4, Huldah in 2 Kings 22, Anna in Luke chapter 2. But when it came to leadership roles in the church, it's a man's job, not the lady. Because of this word from God, it is not scriptural. Now listen to me. It is not scriptural for a woman to preach. It is not scriptural for her to pastor a church. It's not scriptural for them to be given a leadership role over the man. That's why we do not have ladies teaching men at our church. It's a leadership role. A Sunday school teacher is a leader. Now, they can teach children, boys and girls, because a boy is not a man, you understand? He's a child. But when that boy becomes a man, they will not sit in on a lady's teaching in our church. Not for very long, anyway, because it's not scriptural. Now, God says on the flip side, they're to be in subjection. You know what that word subjection means? It means to rank under. Now, does that mean that you're inferior to man? Is that what God's teaching? Is he teaching that you're not as important as man? Absolutely not. It only means that that is God's ordained place for a woman's life. That's God's place for you. Now, an obvious question would be this, why? Why? Well, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24 teaches us that the man is a picture of Christ. And the lady is a picture of the church. Now, the church does not lead Christ. Christ leads the church. Amen? So when the woman is in authority over the man, it's giving a spiritual picture that the church is in authority over Christ, and that'll never happen. Amen? That's why God has given the man the leadership role and the lady the role of being subject and silent in the church as far as when it comes to leadership. That's why we don't have lady deacons. Because it's leadership. And it's over men. Now, I ask you a question. I've got 3 minutes. I can hit these last 2 points in 10 minutes, or I can take up another Wednesday night and get you all over again. You want me to make that decision and go on? Or would you like me to devote another Wednesday night to this message? Let me just stop right here, because really, really, point two and point three is kind of changing the tune a little bit. So I'm going to stop right here tonight. And we'll pick up here, God willing, the Wednesday night after, on the 23rd, which means a lot of you will be out of town anyway, right? So you rejoice about that. But let me just go back and say this, because I've got a couple of minutes. Let me say this to you. I hope you understand my heart in this. I have not told you what is right and what is wrong, or what you can wear or what you cannot wear. I've not done that. It's not my purpose. It's not really even my place here. But what I've told you is that God wants you as the woman to live a certain way. And the way He wants you to live, He wants you to adorn yourself right with modesty, shamefacedness. Hey, you listening? You ought to be ashamed. You ought to be ashamed to even think about wearing some of the things that the world has no problem wearing. Shamefacedness. By the way, parents, I will say this to you. You ought to make sure your girls dress a certain way when they leave your house. Because God's holding you as the man responsible for that. You say, He's telling me what to tell them to wear. I didn't tell you what to tell them to wear and not to wear. That's up to you. That's between you and God. But you ought to make sure it's modest. You ought to make sure it's with shamefacedness. You ought to make sure it's with sobriety, self-control. You ought to make sure that it's not over extravagant. And you ought to make sure that you're working on the character more than you are the clothing. Hard message to teach, it really is. And I'm praying that God help me not to offend anybody. But honestly, I don't know anything I said that could offend you. I could offend you if I said, that's wrong, blah, 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 blah. That's not my purpose. God's God in your life, isn't He? You find what God wants you to do and do it. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? I want you to find somebody there close to you if possible. If not and you're sitting by yourself, that's fine. I want to spend just a few moments in preparation for our day this coming Sunday. It's about 8:29, so we're doing very good on time. I want to pray that God will really meet with us. Really meet with us. I want to pray about the weather and all these kind of things. That'd be good. Let's just spend just a moment in silence here, praying right there at your seat. If your husbands want to pray with your wife or whatever you want to do there. And then I'll come back in just a moment and close us in prayer. Okay, let's pray for our day Sunday. Our Father God, we love You tonight and we thank You for who You are. I pray, God, that You'll bless this lesson that's been taught tonight. And I thank You, Lord, for the ladies who are here. Lord, all of them, everyone that's here tonight, thank You for how, God, they have come in this place appropriate and not drawing attention to themselves. I praise You for that. That's a great testimony. And I pray, Lord, that You help all of the ladies who are here and not here to make up their mind that they're just going to dress in a way that pleases God and doesn't draw attention to themselves. I pray, our Father, that You'll bless us with this upcoming Sunday. Lord, we've seen the weather report, and I know it's up in the air right now and iffy, but Lord, we're calling upon You because that's Your department. And I pray, if it be Your will, that You'll clear out the weather and help us to have great weather on Sunday. Help us to be able to drive the buses. And Lord, I pray for the gospel as it's preached in here. God, that You help it to be used in a mighty way. I pray for those who will preach to the children and those who preach to the teenagers. I pray that You'll bless them in a wonderful way. And may lost people come this week, and may they trust Christ as their Savior. And may not one lost person who comes here leave the same way. May they become a child of God. Help us to rejoice
Father, and what you're going to do. Bless the prison service that night, this coming Sunday night. Bless it in a mighty way. And Lord, I pray, we just confess our dependence upon you. Help us to work hard this week. But help us, Lord God, not to forget to pray, to seek your face. And may you draw close to us, I beg of you. Thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. I remind you of a couple of things before I let you go. Please go out the back and grab some of the flyers for Sunday. Be passing them out. Please meet me at the throne of God at 6:30 Saturday evening. And let's pray for a half an hour. Be much in prayer throughout the rest of the week, okay? I'm going to ask are the buses, bus workers meeting tonight? Are you meeting tonight that you know of? Okay, I'm going to dismiss all those working with the buses to go to the chapel. I want to dismiss all those in the visitation meeting if you'll leave and go downstairs. I want to ask those who are visiting with us tonight again, if you wouldn't mind to go out in the back here. There's a table back there, Brother Gary, our song leader's back there. And if you'll drop your visitor's card off, we've got a special gift just for you, just to say thank you for being here. I trust you'll do that. That'll be great. Let's all stand together, please, and we'll be dismissed in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Scotty Carey, if you don't mind, sir, to dismiss us in prayer, please. Love you, folks. God bless you. Have a great week. If you need me, you call me now, okay?